Hello, I am Mahendra Gupte. Let's talk about Chapter 11, International Trade. International Trade, Importance and Trends for the Future. Key points: international trade allows businesses to reach global markets. International trade was key to the rise of the global economy. Let's look at what international trade, exports and imports mean. What is international trade? International trade is where businesses reach out to global markets. And how does it help? It helps the economy of the globe to increase, because now you can buy materials which are manufactured by other suppliers from other countries. Let's look at it in detail. Reasons for international trade: access to resources, specialization, exchange of technology. Difference between international trade and foreign trade. Let's understand these concepts. What is international trade? International importance and trends. Trends in international trade: the growth of trade in services, data validation and back-to-back platforms, business-to-business platforms, revolution in supply chains, reshoring, nearshoring, friendshoring, digitization of global trade, sustainability as a necessity. So we see that how has international trade been influenced? It has been influenced with the growth of trade in services, data validation, which means that data is secure now for transfer from one company to the other, and revolution in supply chains. After the COVID, we saw that companies have started relooking at their supply chains and have resorted to reshoring, nearshoring, and friendshoring. Digitization of global trade has started in a large scale, and sustainability is a necessity today. Supply chain transparency, working capital optimization, managing buyer risk, a reversion to shorter order cycles, embedded financing to grow. Supply chain transparency is what every one of us is looking for. We all order materials on e-commerce platforms, and then we want to know and be able to track our deliveries. Working capital optimization: every business has a big constraint, and that is finance or their working capital. So that must be optimized as much as possible. Managing buyer risk: you cannot buy materials and hold them indefinitely. You run the risk of them being obsolete, beyond use, or just scrap. A reversion to shorter order cycles, embedded financing to grow. Reversion to shorter order cycles is where companies are looking as to how they can reduce their order cycle time. Order cycles, as we all know, is the time from the time that the customer places the order to the time that he gets delivery of the goods he has ordered. Embedded financing to grow. So today companies are relating, or rather equating their financing efforts to the business directly, and see how as soon as orders are placed or serviced, that money comes back. Let us understand the difference so that either term used has the right reference. Difference between international trade and foreign trade. International trade encompasses all trade between different countries. It focuses on global economic interactions, deals with multilateral trade agreements and global economic policies, involves complex international supply chains and global value networks. And what does foreign trade mean? Refers specifically to a single country's trade with other nations, concentrates on a particular country's import and export activities, concerns bilateral trade agreements and national trade policies, and may involve simpler import-export relationships between two countries. So what we observe here is while international trade covers all countries, foreign trade is specific to a single country with respect to another country that it is trading with. Components of international trade. Some of the key components of international trade: trade agreements establish rules and standards for commerce between countries. International organizations facilitate and regulate global trade. Example: the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, etc. Trade finance. financial instruments and products that facilitate international trade, logistics and transportation, planning and management of foreign freight transport, warehousing, inventory management and customs clearance. Components continue, tariffs and non-tariffs, tariff barriers, tools used by countries to regulate trade, global supply chains, networks that connect manufacturers, suppliers and consumers across different countries, currency exchange and risk management, strategies for protecting against currency fluctuations, intellectual property rights, legal rights of creators and innovators across the borders. Understanding diverse trade flows. Key points, merchandise trade. So there are different trade flows under international trade. Let's understand them. Merchandise trade, exchange of tangible goods, primary and manufactured goods. Services trade, exchange of intangible assets. Here, what we are talking of is the exchange, or rather the sale or purchase of software across countries. Bilateral trade, exchange of goods and services between two countries. Multilateral trade, trade involving multiple countries governed by international agreements. Digital trade, exchange of goods, services and data transmitted digitally. Intra-industry trade, countries simultaneously import and export similar types of goods or services. Understanding the trade flows. Effects on global economy, the economic growth is dependent on the kind of trade flow, job creation, consumer benefits, and innovation. Navigating common barriers in international trade. What are the common barriers that a company, or if you have to get into international business or exports, would you have to encounter? Tariff barriers, taxes imposed on imported goods. Non-tariff barriers, quotas, embargoes, standards and regulations, including sanctions, as we've all seen happening recently. Customs and administrative entry procedures, complex procedures and red tape. Intellectual property, rights issues, differences in protection and enforcement. Standards and regulations, divergent product standards and regulations, trade embargoes and sanctions, restrictions imposed for political reasons, language and cultural differences, challenges in communication and business practices, economic and political instability, risks in target markets. What is the effect of global tariffs on international trade? Influence on prices and consumer behavior. Tariffs increase costs and reduce demand for imports. Impact on domestic industries. Tariffs protect local industries but can reduce innovation. Effects on exporting countries. Tariffs can reduce demand for their products. Let's look at how global tariffs can affect international trade. Influence on prices and consumer behavior. Tariff increases costs and reduces demand for imports, which means that if we've seen recently in the news, where there is a sudden impose of tariff by the USA on different countries, including India, where the tariff imposed on Indian goods is close to 26%, whereas for China, it is close to 90-95%. Impact on domestic industries. What is this tariff expected to do? For the US, it is expected to protect the local industries in America, but it will definitely reduce innovation. Effects on exporting countries. Of course, China, India, all of us have to look at different ways and means to see how we can keep the prices same or just charge a very small increase to the consumer in spite of increased tariffs. Trade wars and global economic impact. Retaliatory tariffs can disrupt supply chains and slow growth. We've all seen that the Indian government has announced that we would have a retaliatory tariff on goods coming in from the USA. Now, this is likely to disrupt supply chains between the two countries. Shifts in global trade patterns. Businesses may shift sourcing or production to avoid tariffs. We've all seen American companies which were earlier producing in China are now moving their manufacturing bases to India because the difference in tariff between the two countries is close to 60-70%. The role of international agreements can mitigate the impact of tariffs. So with international agreements between, let's say, India and the USA, the tariff gets fixed at a certain level and it remains in place, trying to mitigate the impact of the high tariff imposed earlier. International trade restrictions, types and effects. What are the types of trade restrictions? Tariffs, quotas, subsidies, non-tariff barriers, embargoes and sanctions, currency devaluation. How does it affect global trade? Increased costs for consumers, retaliation and trade wars, distortion of global supply chains, and impact on global economic growth. Documents for international trade. A list of documents necessary for international trade with their individual details have been shared. Please note, this list is non-exhaustive, and extra documents may be demanded at any time by any country based on circumstances at the time of import, export, nature of products, and economic and political position of the said country. It is important for anyone involved in the business of exports to get acquainted in detail of the formats of the documents, their contents, their purpose, and the generator responsibility. As we all know, international trade needs certain documents which are accepted internationally across borders and recognized by different countries. Although there is a list provided, let us understand that the list is non-exhaustive because any country can impose or demand a new document at the time of import into their country, and that could be based on circumstances at the time of import or export, nature of products, and economic and political position of the said country. It is also important to note that whoever is into exports needs to understand and get acquainted in detail of the formats of the documents, their contents, what needs to be written, what needs to be excluded, their purpose, and the generator responsibility. The list of documents are pro forma invoice, commercial invoice, packing list, certificate of origin, airway bill, ocean bill of lading, inland uniform bill of lading, intermodal bill of lading, dangerous goods forms, certificate of insurance, certificate of free sale, and shipper's letter of instruction. Let's look at each of the documents a little in detail. A pro forma invoice is a quote or offer provided by the exporter to the importer for an international transaction. What is the purpose? Is vital to for financing, opening a letter of credit, applying for import licenses, etc., and documents used in international trade. Key details included names of the importer, exporter, complete details of product, price, units of measure, timelines, product to get ready for shipment. So what is a pro forma invoice? A pro forma invoice is a document provided, is the quote, final quote provided by the exporter to the importer. And to the importer, it is very useful for arranging his financing, let's say opening a bank, a letter of credit, or arranging for some finance for the payment of those goods. And hence, it includes what? It includes the names of the importer, exporter, complete details of the product, price, units of measure, and an approximate timeline as to when the material would get ready for shipment. The terms of trade, Incoterms. The terms of payment, currency and period, and the validity of the pro forma invoice. So all these factors complete a pro forma invoice, and it is always made by the exporter or the seller. Commercial invoice, it is the official document of transaction between the two parties, used by all agencies handling the cargo, including insurance and customs. What does it include? It includes the order number, purchase order reference, customer reference, name and address of exporter and importer, precise and detailed description of the goods, including unit price with currency, HS codes for the goods, mode of shipment, place and date of issue, and terms of payment and banking information. What is a commercial invoice? It is based exactly on the pro forma invoice and is now a commercial, is the official document of transaction between the two parties. It is useful and used by all agencies handling the cargo, including insurance, customs, the shipping line, everyone. And what does it include? It includes all the details with respect to the order, including the HS code, which is used by the customs, the mode of shipment, so that the shipping line understands how it is to handle the cargo, place and date of issue, the terms of payment, and the banking information, always generated by the exporter or the seller. What is the packing list? It is a list of packages indicating the contents of each package and other details to locate the product. What is the purpose? It is crucial for international trade document for freight forwarders, bill of lading, freight charges, banks for various payment processes, insurance, volume and number of packages, customs official to inspect and examine the goods. So a packing list is nothing else but a detailed breakup of the number of packages and what is contained in each of the package. Now, why is this detail really important? It is important for freight forwarders to generate the bill of lading, which is exactly based on the total volume, the weight of the product or the packages. Banks to understand what kind of material they are looking at and what are they financing for. Insurance for the volume and the number of packages. Customs officials to pinpoint and inspect and decide which package needs to be opened and examined. What are the key details included? It is very similar to the commercial invoice and the reference of the commercial invoice is included. Complete details of each package, weights, dimensions, the identification marks, etc. Identification and markings, special safety instructions, if any, always generated by the exporter or the seller. Certificate of origin. Most countries require a certificate of origin to identify in what country the goods originated. Certificates of origin need to be signed by some semi-official organization. Purpose: to declare the country of origin and authenticated by the government official of the originating country. So almost all countries demand a certificate of origin to ensure that the product has come from a country with which their country does business and has an open trade policy. Second, it is authenticated by a semi-official government organization of the exporting country so that the country of origin is in such a way authenticated by the government official. Key details included: a brief declaration that the goods referenced with the commercial invoice are confirmed to have been made, manufactured in the country, and confirm the identity of the company and that of the signatory from the company. Generated by exporter and signed and stamped by the Chamber of Commerce or the consulate attaché. Airway bill. It is a contract of carriage between the shipper and the carrier, and the format is decided by IATA. An airway bill cannot be negotiable. Purpose. It is a receipt of goods the carrier or agent sends in order to show the place of delivery. What does it include? It includes the number of packages, volume markings, set to contain, etc. Airline and related details, including routing of the cargo to its final destination, generated by the airline or the air cargo handler. So what is an airway bill? An airway bill is nothing else but a receipt of contract. It is a contract of carriage between the shipper and the carrier and acts as a receipt from the airline that they have received the goods and the number of packages, volume markings, etc., and set to contain them as per the invoice. The airline and related details are included if generated by the air cargo handler. If not, the airline includes all its own details so that the consignment can be tracked at any given time. Ocean bill of lading. It is the contract of carriage used for shipment of containers, automobiles or crates, and any form of cargo that does not requisition the capacity of the entire ship. Purpose: the bill of lading fulfills three roles. It is a contract the shipping company agrees with the shipper. Second, a receipt of goods from the shipping line to the shipper, certificate of title. The shipping company will release the goods only to the consignee on the bill of lading. So what is the difference between the bill of lading and an airway bill? A bill of lading is an ocean bill of lading. It is a contract between the shipping line and the shipper, and is generated only when the entire ship is not chartered by the shipper. What is the purpose? The bill of lading fulfills three roles. It is a contract the shipping company agrees with the shipper, receipt of goods from the shipping line to the shipper, a certificate of title. The shipping line company will release the goods only to the consignee on the bill of lading. Let's understand this a little detail. When the shipper hands over the material to the shipping line, as per a contract, that is the part of the bill of lading, the shipping line accepts the material, and this bill of lading becomes the receipt. It now confirms that the shipping line is the custodian of this material received from the shipper. When the consignment reaches the port of destination and it is to be handed over to the consignee, the shipping line will only accept the original bill of lading from the consignee and then release the said goods to the consignee. Key details included: brief description of the goods, referenced with the commercial invoice number and the port of loading and unloading, along with the shipper and consignee details. Yeah, it is always generated by the shipping company. Inland or uniform bill of lading. It is a document similar to an ocean bill of lading, but used either for inland transportation between the exporter's premises to the port of departure, or for land transportation, rail or road, between the exporter and the importer. So let's say we looked at air transport, we looked at ocean transport. Now what happens if you are transporting material by road or by rail to a neighboring country? There needs to be a bill of lading. That is called the inland or the uniform bill of lading, a document similar to an ocean bill of lading, but used either for inland transportation or for transportation between the exporter and the importer. It's a contract of carriage between the exporter and the carrier of the goods that states where the goods are going. It also serves as a receipt that the goods have been picked up. Includes the names of exporter and buyer, origin and destination, and brief description of goods with the commercial invoice as reference, generated by the inland carrier. Intermodal bill of lading. Intermodal bill of lading is used for intermodal shipments. They are state bills and receipts for the goods and evidence of a contract of carriage between the shipper and the carrier. Purpose, similar to the ocean or inland bill of lading, where the receipt of the goods is important and specifies the different modes of transport to be used. What is an intermodal bill of lading? An intermodal bill of lading is nothing else but a bill of lading that covers all the different modes of transport, starting from origin to destination. Which means, let's say you have your company based in Pune and you want to ship something to Dubai. You will need to transport the material first from your factory to the port of Mumbai. Then from the port, it has to get loaded onto a ship, and then it has to reach Dubai, get unloaded, get onto a trailer, and then reach the destination or the warehouse of your customer. Now this mode of transport by road, ship, and again by road is all covered by a single bill of lading that is called the intermodal bill of lading. They are state bills and receipts for the goods and evidence of a contract of carriage between the shipper and the carrier. Now here the carrier is that agency which takes care or handles the cargo between starting from the origin to the destination. Name, what does it include? It includes the name of shipper and consignee, brief description of goods, origin and destination, with an indication of the route to be followed, and transshipment points or nodes, generated by the intermodal shipping company. Dangerous goods forms. The shipper's declaration for dangerous goods is a must for all air shipments in the IATA form. Sea shipments use a different format. The form is filled and completed by a staff trained to handle dangerous goods. Purpose: it indicates and details the categorization of the goods as dangerous and or flammable and the subclauses, if any, used to determine the insurance premium and used to decide the handling and storage location on the vessel. In case if you are transporting any dangerous goods or hazardous goods, you need to have a shipper's declaration for dangerous goods in the required format for air shipments or sea shipments. Who fills this? This form is filled by your staff who has been trained specifically to handle dangerous goods. Now, trained is where you qualify the person to handle dangerous goods, which means he needs a certification for handling dangerous goods. What does it do? It indicates and details the categorization of the goods. That means which class of goods the goods belong to in terms of the hazardous chemical classes, hazardous material classes, how dangerous it is, how it should be controlled and used to determine the insurance premium, as well as the location of the cargo and handling and the vessel. What does it include? Includes category, class of goods indicating dangerous and or flammable, handling process to be used along with shipper and consignee details, and brief description of goods. Generated by airline, reference the IATA form and shipping line, agencies for ocean shipments. Certificate of insurance. Based on the Incoterm, the insurance is done by either party. In case where exporter insures the cargo, the importer asks for a certificate of insurance. As a proof that the cargo has been insured and indicates the kind of damages and perils that the insurance company is liable to cover. Now, a certificate of insurance is demanded by the buyer only if the insurance is being covered by the exporter or the seller, because then he needs a certificate of insurance, especially as demanded by the bank. As a proof that the cargo has been insured and indicates the kind of damages and perils that the insurance company is liable to cover. Another important factor here that comes in is that whatever damages are to be claimed or can be claimed under insurance by the consignee only. So he definitely needs a confirmation that his goods were insured. What does it contain? It contains complete details of the cargo, brief description of the goods, total value, as well as the determined value for insurance. It is issued by the insurance company who has insured the cargo. Certificate of free sale, also known as certificate for export or certificate to foreign governments. It is evidence that goods like food items, cosmetics, biologics, or medical devices are legally sold, distributed in the open market freely without restriction and approved by the regulatory authorities in the country of origin. So what is a certificate of free sale? A certificate of free sale may be demanded by the buyer from the seller, from confirming that the goods are legally sold, distributed in the open market freely without restriction and approved by the regulatory authorities in the country of origin. Now, this is done to ensure that there are no claims put up by the country of origin government on the importing government at any given point of time. What is the purpose? To assure the importing government or the importer that the goods are not defective, expired products, pharma or items with contents that are restricted in the importing country. Exporter details, it is said to contain the exporter details with country, brief description of goods, consignee details and quantity of goods. Generated by exporter, authorized by Chamber of Commerce. Shipper's letter of instruction. Shipper's letter of instruction has all the information needed to successfully move the goods. It is called a cover memo for the export paperwork. It is used by the freight forwarder and or shipping line to understand how the cargo is to move on its journey. What does it include? It includes a set of instructions and sequence to be followed with respect to the movement handling of goods. It is generated by the exporter or freight forwarder and the shipping line. Payment methods. Common payment methods for international trade. Description of each payment method along with their pros and cons. Cash in advance, letter of credit, documentary collection, documents against payment and documents against acceptance, open account and consignment. So each of us who are into exports needs to understand how we are going to be paid for our consignments that we export to our customers. Let's look at the different options that are available and practiced in the industry. Cash in advance refers to when the buyer pays the seller in full before the goods are shipped by way of wire transfers, credit cards, online payment platforms, international payment gateways. What are the pros and cons? For the buyer, establish commitment to purchasing the goods. To the seller, eliminates the risk of non-payment as the payment is made before shipment. Immediate access to funds that can be used for manufacturing, shipping, or other business needs. Cons or the negatives, the seller may fail to ship the goods. Payments may be hard to recover in cases of scams or undelivered shipment. Immediate effect on cash flow management. Payments may be hard to recover even in certain countries where they do not permit payments to be currency to be paid out of the country. Buyers may not trust new or unfamiliar suppliers. Buyers who prefer more flexible payment terms may not be interested. Letter of credit. A letter of credit, LC, also known as a documentary credit, is a binding promise by a creditworthy bank on behalf of the buyer to pay the supplier once the specified terms and conditions of the sales contract are met. It is one of the most secure methods of payment. The process and documentation needs an eye for detail as errors can be expensive. What are the pros? For the buyer, the payment is only made after receiving the goods, protects the buyer from paying for goods that are not delivered or do not meet the specified quality standards. For the seller, the payment is guaranteed by the buyer's bank, reducing the risk of outstanding invoices, gives a competitive advantage in international markets. What are the negatives? Issuing an LC can be costly, and the buyer is responsible for covering the fees. Requires a lot of documents and can be time-consuming. What are the negatives for the seller? Requires several documents and must follow a strict timeline. Delays may occur if the documents are not presented correctly. Documentary collection. Documentary collection involves banks acting as middlemen, exchanging shipping documents like bills of exchange drafts and commercial invoices to ensure the buyer gets the goods and the seller gets paid. There are two possibilities here. One is documents against payment. Payment is at site. That means as the person from the customer side goes to pick up the documents from the bank, the bank releases the documents only after a payment confirmation is made. Documents against acceptance, it means that there is a credit period offered by the seller to the buyer, and hence the buyer ensures that while he accepts the goods, there is a specified date by which the payment can be made to the supplier. Let's understand the pros and cons. For the buyer, cheaper than a letter of credit. The buyer can inspect goods before making a payment with documents against acceptance. Seller, the seller retains ownership of goods until the payment is made. What are the negatives? Potential for delays in receiving documents. Payment with documents against payment has to be made before the goods are inspected. So what are the negatives for the seller? No guarantee of payment. The seller may have to pay for the return shipment in case of cancellation. Open account. An open account is a common payment method, but one of the riskiest for the seller. The seller exporter ships goods to the buyer importer before receiving payment, which is due within 30, 60 or 90 days from invoice date or delivery date as agreed. What are the pros? The buyer, payments are not due instantly. Buyers can inspect the goods before making a payment. For the seller, attracts more buyers and potentially increases sales and market expansion. Offers flexibility for buyers who prefer not to pay upfront. Less paperwork involved than letters of credit or documentary collections. Cons, offer for the buyer offers less protection in case the seller fails to deliver goods compared to other methods. No guarantee that the buyer will pay within the due date. Chasing unpaid invoices can be challenging and costly. Delayed payments can disrupt cash flow. What we understand going through all the details of an open account is nothing else but offering credit to an international customer. What are the key takeaways? International trade is the exchange of goods and services between countries and includes both imports and exports via any mode of transport, air, land, and ocean freight. International trade is facilitated by advancements in technology, transportation, and international agreements. Tariffs, a form of trade policy used by governments worldwide. International trade restrictions are mechanisms used by countries to control the flow of goods and services across their borders. International trade is not as easy as it sounds. You need to prepare yourself with international trade documents, as these legal procedures have a role to play in completing the process of importing or exporting goods between countries. Every business is in existence for making money, and hence understanding the modes of payment, which include cash in advance, letters of credit, etc. Thank you.